Hello, and welcome to this teaching from Paul Harmon, pastor of Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, California. We pray that God uses these messages to draw people into his love, and we're thankful to hear when that happens. If this message shines Jesus' love into your life, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org, and if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. Again, thank you for joining us at Hope Chapel today.
Amazing week we've had. And I just want to thank once again our Voices of Hope Choir director. We have Melanie Pickens. Melanie, thank you very much. Would you let them know how much we appreciate what they have been doing for us all this week? It's been an exceptional week, and what a delight, because if you've been with us all this week, our what we call for Christians our Holy Week, starting with Palm Sunday and then naturally Good Friday. And then we just carried on over with our services today and our sunrise service at the pier. What an exceptional week. And I want to just say thank you, each and every one of you, not only the Voices of Hope, but also our three worship teams, trying to just span it on out there. The many, many hard workers that put things together. Thank you who have contributed not only just a great amount of candy, which I'm trusting we're going to get you out to go watch some of your children or grandchildren do a candy hunt real quick. And what we're hoping to as well, we put together 450 brown bags of hope. They all went away at the Pierside Plaza with what we call hygiene bags as well. So thank you for contributing that. If you're not familiar with brown bags of hope, we had probably a good 1,500 people at the pier this morning. And with that, those bags went off, and we hope will be distributed to some of our community that are maybe homeless, or the possibility that could be their Easter meal. How about it? Well, it's been outstanding. And I just thank God for what he's doing and for what you have contributed as well. And for you who are here, I really want to just thank you. It's such an honor, once again, that you are here for our time that we have. It's a privilege when I get a chance to bring forth the word, and yeah, I never take it lightly, but especially on our Easter day that we have together. Well, I have my Bible in hand, and I trust that you'll have your bulletin too. If you get your bulletin and look at the back, you'll see today's message. If you didn't happen to bring a Bible, we like to distribute Bibles, and just by a raised hand and say, you know what, I didn't bring my Bible, I left it in the Uber. And so just go ahead and just let them know. They'll put a Bible in your hand. If you don't have a Bible at home, please take that with you. We want to make sure. So while we just make sure we hand out, and if you need a bulletin, let's do that as well. Cute little story about Palm Sunday. You know, that was last week, triumphal entry of Jesus. But a little guy, Philip, 5 years old, sore throat, didn't make it to church last Palm Sunday. Family came home. They all came home with palm fronds, and so that little Philip was saying, what's that? He said, well, these are palm fronds. These are what we all waved, his dad said, over Jesus' head as he came in. And so Philip was fuming. He says, the one Sunday I don't go, and he shows up. But I know you brought him. He's here, is he? He's here. So we're thrilled about that. I wanted to naturally just highlight a couple of things, and one in particular, typically on Easter. As you know, this message is entitled Easter, What's Next? And one of the things about Easter is there can be those times that we take a look at just the Easter morning, the empty tomb. Man, that's wonderful. But as we see in Acts chapter 1 as well, that Jesus walked this planet after the resurrection on Sunday morning for 40 days. So he was out and about. And I want to invite Ainsley, my wife, to come and read a portion of scripture to you. We'll get into the text here in John, but she has one. I've asked her to come so we can see one of those episodes and highlight the really the benefit and the grandeur of just seeing Jesus moving about. So Lord, as we once again posture ourselves, having the word on our lap, being around the Word of God like a good banquet, thank you for opening our hearts and letting us see something. Easter, but what's next? In Jesus' name.
I'm reading from Luke chapter 24, starting with verse 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is it that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets had spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with him, that he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So they rose up at that very time and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed."
Excellent. Well, one of the things that's such a thrill for us is to recognize, even in Scripture, that if the Lord were to conceal himself, or possibly, could it be, that you might not even be aware there's angels in this room. But if the Lord opens our eyes, we actually start to see some things. And we're going to see some things here. One of the things that's so significant, Easter, but what's next? We take a look at our passage here. In the back of your notes, you'll see in the bulletin in John 16. We're going to John chapter 16, verse 16 to verse 33. And it's important for us because this is the Last Supper. Jesus is talking to his disciples. You've been with us last week, and we realized and talked about how that in John's gospel, almost half of his gospel is dealing with the last week of Jesus' life. So it's important to God when he edits the book, what he really wants to show you, especially with regards to our redemption. But Jesus starts to speak some things to the disciples. In other words, I know what's next. Do you know what's next? I don't know about you. You know it's Easter today, right? How many know that tomorrow all the Easter candy is going to be on sale? Those chocolate Easter bunnies, 50%, right? If you walk with the Van Skyhawks, they love Peeps. How many know what a Peep is? Yeah. How many give them away? Give them to Michelle and to David. They love Peeps. It doesn't matter if they're a week old. The more gnarly, the better. It's just, so what's next? And when we take a look here at the element that we're about to read, as Jesus is talking to the disciples, they're going to experience tremendous sorrow. Jesus starts to describe that to them. Have you ever experienced that as a nation as well? When catastrophic events take place in people's lives or in a nation, when terrorists attack San Bernardino, when they attack Paris or Belgium or France, people are saying, what's next? What will happen next? It's an interesting dialogue that people, when they experience that, maybe you might have experienced something of a catastrophic event where you say, man, what's next? When will this break through? And when will I have some clarity? How is this all coming about? And Jesus knows what's next. When we see in this setting here, we see that Jesus is going to be executed. He's going to describe it to the disciples. He says, you're going to be sorrowful, but I know what's going to happen. That sorrow will turn to joy. Even Jesus' enemies wanted to know what was next. It's stated here in Matthew 27:64, when the Pharisees were saying, let's put up some extra guards around this tomb because he's been telling everybody he's going to resurrect. So let's make sure that doesn't happen, or else the last state will be worse than the first, or the last deception will be worse than the first deception. But we can look back on Scripture and on history. We can actually say, Easter, what's next? We know what's next. We can literally say that even with Jerusalem, shortly after Easter, thousands of people flocked giving their lives to Jesus. It's amazing. We could say, what's next after this Easter? Man, Saul of Tarsus, remember him? Man, he became the Apostle Paul. That dude so revolutionized and changed out that all of a sudden he started preaching the gospel to the north and to the east. And by the end of the first century, Christianity spread through the entire Roman Empire. By the end of the fourth century, the Christian religion, I should say just Christianity, was the dominant religion in all of the Roman Empire. It's an amazing thing we take a look at that. And here we have the setting here, and 2,000 years after the resurrection, there are over 2 billion people that have claimed adherence to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So this is the Last Supper. This is what's happening. Jesus sits down with his disciples, and he knows what's going to happen next, but they won't. They won't. Jesus knows he would be arrested. Jesus knows he will have mock trial. Jesus knows he's going to be condemned and put to an excruciating death. Jesus knows that once he dies, he's going to resurrect. He also knows that Judas there is going to betray him. He knows that Peter's going to deny him. Jesus knows what's next. And he's even going to say in our setting, hey, you disciples are all going to run away and leave me. But see, the disciples don't know what's next. And so we have this setting here. Jesus knows the future. Jesus knows your future. If you've ever faced a catastrophe and you're saying, what's next? Well, we have 3 personal benefits of the resurrection, how that a living hope and a lasting joy and a lingering peace is really ours. But let's take a look at the first point, living hope, a living hope. Let's look at verse 12. I'm in John 16, verse 16 is where we'll go. John 16, verse 16. And a little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of the disciples said among themselves, what is this that he is saying to us? A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me, and because I go to the Father? They said, therefore, what is this that he says? A little while. We do not know what he is saying. Now, Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said a little while, and you will not see me? And again, a little while, and you will see me? Most assuredly, verse 20 says, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. Now, first of all, it's interesting to note the disciples did not know what he was talking about. I take a lot of comfort in that. But naturally, he's talking about, hey, in a little while, I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. You will not see me. And guess what? A little while, and you'll see me. Now that's what he's talking about, his death and his resurrection. They didn't get it. They didn't even say, oh, what is this thing? Now, I like that because these guys are in close proximity to Jesus and they don't get it. There's other times in John 14, verse 1, where he says, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Then he says, where I'm going in the way, you know how to go there. And then one of the disciples said, we don't know where you're going. And we don't even know how to get there. I love that. I like the honesty. It's a lot better than just having people say, well, I'll just pick it up. Yeah, it sounds good. But it's sure good to say, Lord, what is happening here? And so as we see what's going on, Jesus starts to explain. But their hopes are going to die when Jesus dies. He's setting them up. He says, you're going to turn sorrowful. And then their hopes are going to raise back to life. That's what he's saying. Hey, this is what's going to happen. And then this is what's going to happen. If you've ever had times in your life where it's like, man, what's next? Nothing's happening that's good. Man, that's why the joy of the resurrection, that's what Jesus is trying to describe to them. And our first point, a living hope. You may want to write down 1 Peter 1:3. Man, Pete gets it, and he writes in his epistle, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So, can you imagine before they met Jesus, life had routine? Isn't that true? I mean, there's a little bit of comfort in routine. A lot of these guys were fishermen. That could be kind of mundane. Huh? It's not for me, man. Get me on the water. I want to fish all day. Well, if you were to just kind of check out their routine, they get up, they fish, they do their business, go to the market, they come home, go to bed, get up, go fish, go to the market, get their meal going, go to bed. I mean, just over and over. And after a while, it's like, oh, this something's got to happen. I'm getting bored. Sometimes you can actually start losing hope where it's like there's nothing happening here. And then Jesus says, hey, you come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Hope renews. Like, really? Man, something's going to happen. Have you had that? Where Jesus, you just feel like something big's going to happen. And then all of a sudden, the Lord says, hey, by the way, you're going to be sorrowful in just a little bit. But don't despair, because that sorrow is going to turn to joy. Now, that's an amazing thing. That's what we're talking about, the benefits of the resurrection. It's a living hope, not just hope. It's a living hope. What does that mean, a living hope? That means that anything God promises is alive. It's alive. If you take time and just dig into the word and just get a hold of a verse and you realize, man, that is hopeful. One of those things about the resurrection is, isn't it wonderful to know that though death may separate you from people you dearly love because they're not here anymore on this planet, they're with God, you'll see them again. You'll see them again. We'll be reunited. I mean, that's a tremendous hope right there. It's a living hope. All Jesus promises are true. That's what a living hope means. That's why it's worth your investigation and time reading the scriptures. So the person that promises also guaranteed it by dying, and then he rose again. So some of Jesus' promise didn't make sense at the time until he raised from the dead. Then these guys says, yeah, that's what we want. What kind of promises? They didn't figure it at the time, but now they got it because in John 11:25, when Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Whoa. How about John 14:6? Where he just says, I am the resurrection. But he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Those are important, not just a living hope, but another, a lasting joy. Point number two, a lasting joy. See, that's something that you and I can experience, a living hope. Always have hope. Always have hope. And a lasting joy. That's a real mark of a Christian. Let's check it out, because here we have Jesus. He's going to die on the cross. The disciples, that's their worst nightmare, the saddest day of their lives. They're going to never say, I'm never going to be happy again. It was not a good experience. No dancing there. And so as Jesus starts to lay it out, let's look at verse 20. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. And you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. Then he gives the analogy of a woman giving birth to a child, just to give it some added understanding. Verse 21, a woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come, but as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take away from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, ask. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. It's an amazing thing when a person goes through catastrophic events in their life. I mean, it just decimates them. We do not live in a perfect world. We do not live with perfect people. You will eventually find sorrow. And if not with the living, when somehow life in its journey takes those you love away from us. But there's something about the words of God where he says, listen, your joy will return to you. Those who loved Jesus were overjoyed when they discovered he was alive. It's an amazing thing. We know in John 20:20, says when Jesus, after his resurrection, all of a sudden appeared in the room, says the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Boom! Sorrow, sadness, gladness. It also says about the women when they went to the tomb in Matthew 28:8. And it says, and they went away from that experience with fear and great joy. So I don't know what you're experiencing. There's something that is available by the power of God. If we are experiencing those areas of deep sorrow. And then Jesus illustrates this with having a baby. I hear it's very painful and very sorrowful and distressing and all-consuming. Now, I was there for three of those. My dear wife, she did them au naturel. She's amazing. All natural. Saved us a lot of money too, didn't it, honey? And I was just so proud of you. Just great. I was the coach. I breathe. And what was the experience of seeing all of a sudden from the anguish and the pain, the distressing, the all-consuming effort, all of a sudden the baby's first cry. That's what Jesus is saying. That sorrow turns to joy. That's what God's saying to us. You can experience a breakthrough from sorrow and anguish. There is a lasting joy that is available. What's important for us is to say, well, I've never experienced that childbirth. I don't know what that's like. Carol Burnett, she said, men, if you don't know what that's like, just go ahead and take your bottom lip and pull it over your head. You'll get a feel for it. When we take a look at something like this, this is important because joy on the inward condition of the soul, comes by proximity of a closeness with Jesus. So you can have happiness. And that happiness is done when you leave Disneyland. But you want abiding joy. It comes by a relationship with Jesus. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about. Others will eventually find out, because when catastrophic events come near, then Jesus says, listen, your sorrow will be turned into joy. And until now, you haven't asked me anything, but I want you to ask. And I want you to ask in my name. And you'll receive that your joy may be full. Isn't that great? I dig that. So there's a tremendous benefit of this great resurrection of ours. The Apostle Paul, he knew all about this because while he is in death row in a jail in Philippi, he writes in Philippians 4:4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. Now, he didn't know if he was going to live or die. That's Philippians 1, he says, "To live is Christ, to die is gain, to live or die." I'm not sure how this is going to come out. But can you imagine that person? Rejoice in the Lord always. That's significant for anyone to come along. He thought he would be executed for his faith, but I'm going to rejoice. What is going on with the person's soul that has that kind of lasting joy? That's for you. That's for you who are experiencing some tremendous trauma. God is here, and he knows what's going on. You probably have heard God even tell you. You know those little inner awareness, don't go down that street. Oh, those things we regret. I should have never just piggybacked onto that person. I never should have joined that company. I think God was telling me. Then all H-E double toothpick comes out. God tells us these things. But he wants to turn it around for us. And there is such a tremendous hope and a joy. And number three, a lingering peace. A lingering peace. This can be next for you as well. Jesus told his disciples that they would be hopeless and full of sorrow, and they would run away. Check it out here. We have in verse 29, "And his disciples said to him, 'See now, you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. And by this we believe that you came forth from God.'" And Jesus answered, he still knows. He says, "Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." We see here a lingering peace. How can that possibly be a peace? See, he showed his disciples, and he's showing us that God is in control. He knows what's next. Nothing catches God off guard. He is saying, "Do you really believe? Because I'm going to tell you something. If you really believe, it won't last long, because you're going to run from me and scatter." It's amazing, isn't it? Then he says in verse 33, "These things I've spoken to you." What things? What things? What things is he speaking to us here this morning? These things, he's saying, I know what's next. I know what's next. And I'm telling you what's next. Your sorrow and anguish will be turned to joy. I know what's next. And so telling you this, he's saying, so that you know that in me you may have peace. That's an amazing thing to know God knows things. It's an amazing thing to know he even knows your future. Those who go into catastrophic events, challenging times, always will say, "What's next? When does this stop?" I want you to know it's an amazing day when you finally say, let's spend a little time with Jesus. "Lord, what's next? You knew I would experience this." Oftentimes people can come along and say, "Well, I'm going to blame God. If he knows this, man, I'm going to get all upset with him." But he also knows what's next. Your sorrow will be turned to such joy. Nothing like having hope renewed. Abiding hope, a living hope, knowing that time spent in the Word, you can trust the same one that spoke a promise to you. It's also the one that said, "I'm going to resurrect." You can guarantee what Jesus tells us is so true and wonderful. He says, "I know you're going to experience pain and sorrow and confusion, but also hope, joy, and peace because of the life and death of the resurrection of Jesus. Friends, that's an amazing experience. I so enjoy my life with Jesus. That's one of the most significant things that I still experience and am so glad. You know that life is challenging. Disappointments come. It is helpful. Once again, we do not live in a perfect world, but we're following one who is. And Jesus himself in verse 33, check it out again. These things I have spoken to you in this room, that in me you may have peace. In the world, where are we? The world. In the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome it. Tribulation, as you know, is dealing with people. Remember that term, tribulation period? When God just pulls things up and we're taken from the rapture and the rest are left people dealing with people. That's just man trying to reason and work and usurp and take advantage of, kind of like what's going on. It's a tribulation time. The wrath of God, now that's different. You don't want to get caught in the wrath of God. The tribulation. You and I deal with people that are less than perfect. Don't come through. We want them to be faithful. We want them to come through. But when they don't, say, man, I just so sorrowful, so confused. I'm in pain. If we spend any time with God, say, I knew you were going to experience that. Why don't you come here? I have a living hope, a lasting joy, and a lingering peace no one will take away. It's in Jesus. It's in your relationship with Jesus. If you ever fail to experience those three wonderful ingredients, then do remember these words. Get back to Jesus. Get back to Jesus. We know he resurrected. I could go into numerous sermons on proving how the resurrection of Jesus happened. Three real quick ones. Jesus predicted his death and resurrection in Scripture. He said, I'm going to do this. Third thing is we have it listed in history. There's even eyewitness accounts that have logged it. One I'd just like to read real quick. It's in 1 Corinthians 15. You can write that down and enjoy that later. 1 Corinthians 15 says this so clearly about up to 500 witnesses seeing Jesus after his resurrection. And it says so clearly in verse 3, for I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas or Peter, then by the 12. And after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. And after that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, and then last of all, he was seen by me, the Apostle Paul says also, as one born out of due time. So we take a look here. It's amazing to recognize. People have seen the resurrected Jesus. That would stand in any court. Do we have verifiable documents of people seeing him after his death come to life? And then we take a look at this room filled with people who have been changed lives. Changed lives. Man, the power of a changed life and to have that living hope and that lasting joy and that lingering peace. So what's next for you? I like a good story that has this last line, and they lived happily ever after. Don't you love that? Happily ever after. I want to just kind of end before we pray. I love when mentors get together. We need our young men with older gents and our young ladies with gallant ladies that just know how to mentor and coach. And this older man told and asked this young man, now that you're graduating from high school, what's next? What's next? He says, well, I'm going to go to college and get a degree. Wow. Well, what's next after that? Well, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to start a business. Oh, that's good. Good. And what's next after that? Well, I'm going to get married. Oh, that's good too. I like that. What's next after that? He asked the young man. Well, I'm going to start a family, and I'm going to raise my family, build my business up. Oh, that's good. Well, what's next? He thought about it. And he said, well, I'm going to just grow old, and I'm going to die. And then he said, what's next? See, that's an important thing. We all live forever. We do decide where to spend that forever. That's the beauty of a living hope and a lasting joy and a lingering peace. There's just so much more to enjoy. That's all ours, isn't it? Let me pray with you right now, shall we? We close our Bibles. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love. And boy, do we thank you for Jesus and the proof of the resurrection. And the room is filled with people that have that wonderful hope, that great joy, and that lingering peace. Lord, I pray for my friends right now who might be here and really are going through some shadows, some dark things, and that they are here now and you're ready to provide everything they need. We thank you for Jesus. Lord, for those that say, man, I need to start following Christ, that resurrected King, I'm going to invite all of you just to repeat a prayer out loud with me. Would you do that? Dear Jesus, I know this. I need to follow you. And I make the decision today that I'm sorry for following my own plans. I give my life to you. I ask you, Lord, forgive me of my mistakes, of my sins. Wash me clean. I choose to surrender my life. I need your hope. I need that joy. And I welcome your peace, O Lord. I belong to you. And thank you, Almighty God, for giving your life to me and giving me new life this day. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Thank you, friends. Well, I'm excited and honored to pray with you and even open the word to you. What a significant journey, a brief journey, but your journey's just begun for all of you. Don't worry about those elements or events that bring sorrow or pain. And just draw your soul back to Jesus, just like you did. Watch how the grace of God helps with such hope. It is a true testimony. And God's here to fulfill things in your life. It's profound. Well, I want to welcome you just to stand to your feet. This is a good day. It's a happy day. This should be just that for all of us. And before I pray you off that blessing, we're going to sing that song together. Let's enjoy that, shall we? Thank you, David and worship team.
The greatest day in history. Greatest day in history. Death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave. Life eternal, you have won this day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day, happy day, you wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day, I'll never be the same. When I stand in that place, free at last, meeting face to face, I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. Joy, perfect peace, earthly pain finally we'll see. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day, happy day. You wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Oh, happy day, happy day. You wash my sin away. And oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. Oh, what a glorious day. And oh, what a glorious day. What a glorious way that you have saved me. And oh, what a glorious day. What a glorious name. And oh, happy day, happy day. You wash my sin away. And oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Oh, happy day, happy day. You wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed.
Let's give that applause to the Lord. Yes. Yes. Well, what an honor to have you once again this Easter Sunday. I want you to have the best Easter Sunday ever. And may it be with the Lord and with family and friends and strangers too. And we're glad that you're here at Hope Chapel. I want to just add one last just little word of direction. As a pastor, and I'm so honored to be a pastor, and especially here at Hope Chapel and in this great city, is that as a pastor, I recognize the need for people to have a church, but especially a pastor. Everybody needs a pastor in their life, like a dentist and a doctor. But for you who just surrendered your life to the Lord or said, I want to be a follower to Jesus, I'm speaking specifically to you. I know God wants you to grow and to develop and to be safe and to be nurtured. And many of us, quite a number, have tried to do those things on our own and come when time permitted. But now that you are walking and pursuing the things of God, to have those things of the Lord does require for you to find that church. And if you're out of town and visiting Hope Chapel, find that church. Get involved and let the shepherd of the sheep know who you are. Don't go back to the old way of just trying to navigate life on your own and think, me and Jesus. We are called the church for a purpose, and it's Jesus who called us that. This is my church. I will build my church, he says. I'm going to protect my church because the gates of hell will not prevail. So therefore, come under that covering of a church. So I want to just add that. Thank you for allowing me. And Ainsley talking about discipleship classes, I know it's in the heart of God to provide things for you to make you strong and vibrant. Yes. We have so many young Christians, not just biologically young, spiritually young. And we want to grow you up as quickly as we can so that you can influence the family God's given you or will give you. And so it's important you take these things of the Lord and bring that lasting hope, that joy, and that lingering peace. Well, let me pray that on you and thank you for coming. I want to get our parents out because we're doing a candy hunt and grandparents out, so it's been wonderful. And one last thing, and I need to say that if you gave your life to Jesus or recommitted your life, please tell that person you came with you did just that. They'll be happy they brought you to Hope Chapel today. Or fill it out on a tearaway on our Get Connected card. It has right there in a blue, I gave my life to Jesus, or I recommitted my life to God. Please let us know. That's important. God knows, but the safety is someone else knows that will have hands-on to care and to support and nurture. Thank you for listening. Well, Father, we just love you. And Lord, I say these things to all of us because of the deep, profound love I feel from you to these dear ones. So Lord, let the love of God help seal the deal on so many things they're facing in the future. Let them never, not once, ever feel like they are experiencing good and not so good by themselves. Lord, let the presence of God, let the love of God, let the abundance of the joy of being a blessed person permeate everything about their future, their family, their fortune. No lack, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.